Bible, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, and Spirit of God, for your personal interest, involvement, and help. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. Our Lord, thank you very much. Thank you, Father, for it all. So make it come together. Help it, God. Help us to be able to understand the better and to be benefited the more. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have commenced chapter 7 and found there's just about 6 months left before the crucifixion of Christ. So it's in the last 6 months of his earthly life. And in the process, we found that he is found that the system is very much activated against him, and they're going to try to kill him. They've been trying to kill him, but now they're really trying to kill him. They're putting effort in any way they can. So in the process, John, you're going to go and help John write that which he should write, to help John write so that we could understand how it worked out. God, how did you try to help the people understand who you were? How did it work, God, that you're the only God and you're the only Savior, and you wanted them, you wanted us, by way of the Gospel of John, to understand who you are, why you came, and how we are to benefit. So now, in chapter 7, continuing that information, remember they were upset with him because he did what he did, when he did, how he did, and he did it in the light of God's work and God's grace to demonstrate his wonderful person. And so when he came and to the temple, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is chapter 7, and in the process, chapter 7, we share together in verse 15, as he entered the temple in the middle of the feast, 8-day feast, probably the fourth day, and he entered the temple and he taught, and he taught them. And verse 15, the response of the crowd. And the Jews marveled, were amazed, astonished, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How does he know letters? And that wasn't ABC, Aleph, Beth, Gimel. It isn't that kind of thing, not that alphabet, no. No, it has to do with the thing when you were trained, if you went to a special school, you had a special teacher, and you were trained as the rabbi would be, then you would go and represent that school and that training, that teacher, and you would go out, and when you heard the student, scholar, you would pick up the thought of what? Well, he's gone to that school, and in the process, he's been taught by that teacher, and thus their language, the way their scholarship, their language was very different than the common person. And so they wanted to know, how come he's just a carpenter from Nazareth? We want to know how come he can speak so eloquently, so scholarly, and he represents a teacher, he represents a school of thought that we are not familiar with. But as he speaks, we're very conscious he's been somewhere. Someone has taught him. He knows something somehow that no one knows in a way that he expresses that school, only it isn't a school, it's heaven. God is his father, God is the teacher, the school is God's school. The Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect man is representing God. And wow. So they said, wow, where did this man ever get this? Well, he got it from God. He didn't go to the Jewish rabbinical school, and they knew that. So that's what astounded them, that he had such marvelous insight and knowledge in answering whatever he did. So now, having said that, and remember now, and then he went on to answer, they asked him, how come you know this? Where do you come from to have such an education? Verse 16, 17, 18, 24. He's going to tell them. He's going to answer their question, which he did like we did last time. And in the process, they had a reaction. And we shared that in as he's explaining and as he's answering. They're trying to get an explanation for his wonderful teaching ability, his knowledge, his scholarship. He's come out of heaven and he knows so much. And he says so much. And he says it in such a way with great authority because he's trusting God and they're in his authority. There's our authority. It isn't in us. It's in God. God gives the authority for this. And God, you have to give it. I can't give it. I can't do it. It'd just be my word, and I could say the same thing someone else says. I could read the verse to you. But the authority of that word demands God behind it. And thus, otherwise, it doesn't have any authority. It just has a wonderful message, maybe, ever, if that ever happened. So now, in the light of that, they had an explanation for it. Verse 20, you know. And the people answered and said, thou hast a devil, one devil, many demons, so the word demon. People answered and said, thou hast a devil or a demon, who goeth about to kill thee. So we shared together that their explanation was that he had a demon. Now, why a demon? Well, because demons have special power, angels do, demons, special power and knowledge. And therefore, he must be demon-possessed to have a knowledge, to be able to do what he did, do what he does, say what he says. He has to have some extra help from a demon to give him such expression. And they blamed it and gave it credit to a demon of the reason that he could do and say what he did. And that's what they did. By the way, as you'll see, they're going to give John the Baptist. How are they going to explain John the Baptist? Well, the same way. He has a demon. He has a demon. Am I going to talk about God? No, we're going to talk about that which we don't want to think of God. We don't want to have to think of God that way. And thus, thus in the process, as the thinking overrides, the Jewish religious thinking overrides their spiritual rightness. So our religiousness, Judaism and all of that, whatever religion we have, all our religious thinking tends to override spiritual rightness. And our tradition, their traditions overrode the truth. We have our traditions and our thinking and our churchiness, and we come and we go and we interpret whatever, by those traditions, by our religiousness. And that's what they do. So therefore, they were robbed, and they were bankrupt. They had no sense of God at all. So when you come now to the next section, verse 25. And in verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem. Now, there's the common people like Galilee, people that come down. They announce the Feast of the Tabernacles, all the males come, supposed to. And in the process, the big feast, a big festivity, and all kinds of people are there. And in the process also are the citizens of Jerusalem. And the citizens of Jerusalem had a little status, since they lived there where the Sanhedrin and all of this was, that they had a... It'd be like I live in Washington. I'm part of the Washington system. All of us could go visit Washington, but we are not Washingtonites. We aren't special. These people of Jerusalem are special. They have an advantage. So now, picking that, and remember you're comparing it in verse 20, the people, verse 20, the word people slash crowd, a crowd, C-R-O-W-D, a crowd. A crowd versus the Jerusalem clientele. So now, verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Is this not the one who they are seeking, present tense, they're seeking to murder him? And remember, our Lord has just cut through helping them understand that if they honor the law, and the law says, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, the law says, sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder. And they're trying to do just that. They're supposed to be Jews that keep the law, Pharisees, Sadducees, keep the law. But on the contrary, you're willingly, defiantly going out and breaking the law. So now, that's what they're doing. So, and is not the, verse 25, whom they seek to kill, they're trying to kill him. They're trying to murder him. And that they have no right to do that. They break the law. Now, but, lo, this crowd is looking and say, lo, he speaketh boldly, bold, free, fearless, openly, very publicly, very public, very, he speaketh openly, he's speaking openly, boldly, as we said, and he's speaking openly in verse 26, boldly, very publicly, and they say, nothing unto him. So here's all, very loud, very clear for all the people that are around as they gather around. They certainly would be around him in great number. And in the process, he's speaking to them loudly. And as he speaks to them, they say, well, listen, none of the authorities are hunting him down. How come he speaks, verse 26, and they say nothing to him? They don't stop him. Why aren't they stopping him speaking? And they weren't stopping him at all. And they say nothing unto him. Now that then they make a statement. Do the rulers, authorities, the religious authorities, leaders, do the authorities, in verse 26, do the rulers, authorities know, are they knowing, indeed, certainly, with great affirmation, in truth, in very deed is the word, indeed, in truth, certainly, with great affirmation again, do they know indeed that this is the very, there's your little word, very again, very, 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 truly, truly, certainly, do they know indeed that this is very much indeed, truly, Christ the Messiah? Do these authorities, the reason they aren't after him, do they know he is the Messiah? That's the talking. And they want to know, is he the Messiah? First time brought up now to them. And here it is in the temple, it brought up. Is he the Messiah? Right out in the middle of the crowd. Is he the Christ the Messiah? Which is the word Christ. Now, and in the process, is he the Christ? So now, as they say that, and they say it, is he the Christ? Do they think he's the Christ? And then quickly, they move, and they answer their own question. Verse 27, howbeit we know, what do we know? that. In contrast, do they know he's the Christ? Do they know that he's the very Christ, the Messiah? Here's the special leadership. What do we know? We're just the people of Jerusalem, and there's the Sanhedrin, etc. What do they think? He's the Christ? Now, and in verse 27, howbeit, we know, in contrast to them, what do we know? And they didn't even spend 2 seconds, it seems. They went right from, do they think he's the Christ? And they answered the question themselves immediately. By the way, let me tell you, let it be recorded what we think. Howbeit, we know, we are knowing, perfect tense, and the result that we keep on knowing. We are knowing this man. We know this man. We know this man. We know him. And we know this man, whence he is, where. Where are you from? I know where you are from. I know your origin. We know your origin. We know. They talking among themselves again. We know this man, we know his origin, whence he is. Now, over if you would please, over to chapter 6 for a moment again. In chapter 6 and verse 42, and in verse 42, reminding us of their understanding and their argument and their reasoning. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, this one, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, how is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? We know, how could he possibly say he came down from heaven when we know his parents? We know he was born at Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. We know that. We know that about him. One other place of all kinds, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew in chapter 13. And picking up, if I can, in verse directly in light of the context, 13 and 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? After all of the wonderful Matthew 13 information. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. They were offended. How can he possibly say, do, and know these things? He says he's of God. How can that be? We know him. We know he's just like us. He's less than us. He was born up there in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. A Galilean. He's nobody. We're somebody. He's nobody. How could he be Christ? How could that be? Now, and thus, 13 and 57, they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So now, in the light of that, chapter 7 of John, remember now, there's a contrast between what the rulers thinking in their mind, why they didn't arrest him and take him. They could have, it seemed like, but they didn't. And in verse 27, this man, whence is it? We know where he's from. We know his origin, we do. And, by the way, in contrast, not only do we know his origin, but what else do we know? But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth where he is. No one knows. No one is knowing, present tense. No one knows whence he comes from. No one's going to know where he comes from. We know where this man comes from, Bethlehem, Nazareth, Galilee, we know this man. Christ, we aren't going to know. We aren't going to know. No. And that was their thinking, in part. They thought that. And that Christ, the Messiah, when he came, it was a mystery when he came. He would come secretly. He would come suddenly. He would come very quickly. Very quickly he would come. Unexpectedly he would come. And you would not know. You would not know. You would not know. And besides, what else do we know? That he wouldn't come like that as a man? No. God's going to step out of heaven in some spectacular way, unexpectedly and suddenly. Well, that's true at his return, no question. But in the process, what do we know? We know what? That he can't come like that. Elijah must come ahead of him. He can't come without being announced. There is no Elijah to announce him. And we have rejected John as having a demon. We have rejected him, Christ the Messiah. So where is then Christ? Where is Christ? Christ cometh, verse 27. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth, no man is knowing where he is, whence he is, where he comes from. No one's going to know that. No one. So we're way ahead of the rulers even. If they think he's the Christ, we know he's not the Christ. We know he's not the Christ. Now, hang on to that, if you would. They know that. And so in the process now, then after their speaking and mumbling and talking and saying what they did about it, verse 26 and 27, and now in the process, our Lord responds, and in verse 28, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught. So as he's teaching, and all they're talking out there, all the saying all these things, here's this big crowd out there, and they're saying all these things out there, wow. And as they say them, and in the middle he stops, verse 28, then cried. And remember now, the word cried is always to cry out loudly. It's never little. It doesn't mean tears. It means to say something very loud so everyone hears. And to say it, cried out, he did. Wow. And Jesus cried out loudly. Jesus in the temple as he taught, and what did he cry out saying so that everyone would now have to say special attention? He raised his voice and elevated it so you're going to hear, and boy, wow, what's going on, you see. So in verse 28, you both know me. Now, you know my origin. You know me. And you know whence, where I'm from. You know me, first part. And then you're going to say, you are knowing me. And with the result, the tense is, you know me, and you continue to know me. You, first, second part, you know me, and you know whence I am. You know where I'm from, and you continue to know where I'm from. So you're claiming you know. And I want you to know that you are right. You do know, but you don't know. You are right. I'm born in Bethlehem. You know that. You know that I was raised in Nazareth, the carpenter's son. You know that. You know all those things, do you? Galilee, all my miracles, you know. I do. We do. Do you know? We do know. We do know you and where you're from. And the Lord says, you certainly do. You certainly do. Wow. So now, just taking a little parenthesis. We all know, we all celebrate Christmas, do we, more or less? And we celebrate, why do we celebrate Christmas normally? Because it's the birth of whom? It's the birth of Christ. We all know that. We all know what? The resurrection, Easter. Do we all know that? We celebrate Easter. We celebrate Christian. Christmas. We celebrate Thanksgiving to God. Don't we all know these things? Sure we do. To claim ignorance? No. You do know. You do know. What do you do with what you know? They knew, and he said, you do know. There's no question you know. Now, verse 28, then cried aloud Jesus in the temple. He taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. I am not come of myself. I did not come of myself at all. I am not self-appointed. I did not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, and whom you know not. You don't know him. Now you know me. You know where I'm from. That's true. But you don't know him who sent me. You don't know him who sent me. Now, remember now, and I know where I'm from. I do. Chapter 6, over there for a moment. In chapter 6, verse 33, the bread of God is he, person, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So it's a person. Sliding over to verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came down. So you can keep reading all kinds of things. And in verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I came down from the Father. Over to chapter 8, please. In chapter 8, picking up if I can, in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I was not self-appointed. God the Father sent me to fulfill my assignment, and by the way, back over to chapter 7, verse 28, and he that sent me is true, he is real, genuine, he is really, 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 really the sender. And by the way, you whom the sender, the Father, who sent me, you know him not, and you do not know him. You know me, Bethlehem, Nazareth. You know that. And you know me and you know my origin. I was born in Bethlehem. My mother Mary, you know that. But you do not know him. You do not know him. And the result, you still don't know him. You don't know him. Now, and thus, verse 29. But I know him. I know him. For I am from him, and he hath sent me. I want you to know, I know him. I am knowing him right now, and I am from him. I am out because I am out from him. And by the way, he hath sent me. He hath sent me. So there's no question that I am here, and I have been sent by him, and you do not know him. You know my origin, birth. You know where I'm from, Bethlehem. You do not know my mission. You do not know my assignment. You don't know that. That's the trouble. And thus, and they don't know why God sent him. You don't understand why God had to send his Son to be the Savior of the world. So now, having said that, and that I am from him, now, over, if you would, chapter 30. Do you try chapter 30? How about verse 30? Chapter 7, verse 30. Now, this is their response now. Then they sought to take him. They wanted to take him. And remember now, they're trying to kill him. They're trying to catch him. And they sought to take him. But no man, as they were seeking to take him, But no man, verse 30, no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. The time hadn't come. So for him to be taken to Pontius Pilate, taken to the Jewish court and the Roman court and to the cross, it wasn't time. And it isn't time. Until it's God's time, nothing's going to happen. Until it's God's time. And so now his hour was not yet come. It hadn't come yet. It was coming, but it wasn't yet. Now, over if you would please, his hour. And right next door, just to see it again of all kinds of places, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him. Why not? For his hour was not yet come. And remember, the Lord Jesus is going to pray, keep me from this hour, but your will be done. I don't want to go to this hour. The hour is coming, but it isn't yet. It isn't yet. So now, John chapter 7, and in verse 30, my hour is not yet. Verse 31, and many of the people believed, they believed, many of the people were believed, they believed, they were impressed, and many believed, and said, they said what? When Christ cometh, whensoever Christ comes, when he comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Now they believed, but you got to add the other part. How much did they believe? To what measure did they believe? Well, they believed that he was who he was, maybe, because, what are you saying? When he comes. Is he here? Well, no. No, you don't believe he's here. You don't believe the one in front of you is him. No, I'm looking for when he comes. And we're trying to contrast this person, miracles, with the one who comes. So it isn't real clear how well your belief is at all. At all. So you believe, but you don't believe. Now, in the process of that, and would he do all those miracles? Now, having done that little bit, and if you could, I could, won't do it for you, I was going to take all those no's, K-N-O-W, and run them all together and show you how they all go together. But hold that. In the process of what we just read, they have no safe, no sure way out. They know him from an earthly standpoint, and they are here, and they see him here, there, at the time, but they have no benefit from him being there. They have no benefit from seeing him, no benefit from knowing him at all. In fact, he'll disappear, and they'll just keep right on going. It will just be an event that they had, an occasion when they had this kind of interchange. And Christ, who he really is, we don't know. When he really comes, we haven't seen it. And thus the process, God gave them, this is about, he's the Messiah. You said the rulers think he's the Messiah, or else they would arrest him. Now, they didn't really, but they did. On the one hand, he was a threat, especially to the Sanhedrin, who had a political religious system. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the system. What would happen to our Judaism? What would happen to our Sanhedrin thinking? All out the window. We don't want him. We don't want him. We don't want him, you see. Now, think of politics and using that. Think if we could go, and the day will come, of course. Think if we could go and tell Washington that Washington, we're going to have, we have an appointment, and we have made it in that Christ is going to come to Washington and take over. and he's going to take over. That means you don't have to ever come to Congress again. There is no legislative body. There is no money. No more money. No more taxes. No more. Now, he's coming to take over, and we just need you to sign that you're in agreement. Will they sign it? No. He's coming to take over. They aren't going to have that. What are the Jews doing? We can't have him come. He's coming to take over. Wow. So now, putting that together, I hope. Over, if you would please, to the Gospel of John. Remember all these knowing. You know this, you know that, but you don't know. You don't know who I am, really, and where I'm from. You don't know my Father. Now, hang on. Hang on, if you would. Well, here, I didn't mean to do it. I just opened it. John 8, verse 19. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. You really don't know. What you do know is true. I was born in Bethlehem. I was crucified on Calvary's cross. You know all these things. I gave you my word. The Bible is in front of you. I gave you these things. So you don't want to say you don't know. You do know. And I agree you know. Now what are you going to do with what you know? So now, picking up in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, please. And going, if I can, to verse 4. Remember, the Lord said in my Father's house, many abiding places, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4. Whither I go, you know. You know where I'm going. You do. And the way you know. Here they are looking. And you know. You know. I go and you know. The way I know. You know I have to go and you know the way I'm going. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. And how can we possibly know the way to get there? And now you have, in the light of the knowings, the same as in John 7. Now, here we are. And God, you're going to answer them? I am. Verse 6. Jesus, 14:6. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. For what? No man, no boy, girl, man, or woman can get to the Father except by me. I'm the way to get there. I'm the way. If you know me, then you ought to believe and trust me, know who I am. So why? So that you can know how to get to the Father, the one who sent me. How are you going to get to the Father who sent me? Who sent you? Through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the only way. I'm the only way there. Only way. That's it. And, let me go further with no. And in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. If you really knew me, you would know my Father. Okay, help me some more. Okay, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, you know him. You know my Father and have seen my Father. See, now he's going to help them. You see, that. It's real simple. It's there. I'm God in the flesh. And, verse 9, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me? Thou hast not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Philip, you guys have been around, and you still don't know me. You know me. You know where I'm from. You know what I can do. You do know that. But you don't know me. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. Oh, Jesus, do you know who you just prayed to? Who? Do you know who I am? Wow, all right. So now, in verse 9, again, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? So now, sliding over to verse 20, in that day you shall know, there's your word, you shall know that I am in my Father, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You're going to know something. You don't know it now. You don't know it, but you will know it. You don't know who I am. And that's why when he's crucified, they're going to all back off. They don't understand. They don't understand. He said, I told you, I have to be crucified and risen. But they said, I don't believe. Don't believe. They don't believe. And how are you going to know? Well, you don't know who I am. You don't know who I am, do you? You don't understand. Now, keeping that in mind, and remember now in Romans, Rome, we'll do that part. Well, no, over Romans, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, picking up. Now, I'm going to read it, but I'm going to give you, hang on, John 1. Romans 1:21. When they knew, K-N-O-W. When they knew God, they glorified him what? Not as God. It isn't that they didn't know. God told them who he was. So we shared that 1,000 times because people said, what about the people that don't know? There is no one that doesn't know. There's no such critter on planet Earth. God creates them and God helps them know. Whether you're in Australia or wherever you are, he helps them know. So there's no question. But what do we do with what we know? We listen to the people around us who think they know, who don't know. And we go by what they know and miss what they don't know. We get on the same page. So now, John chapter 1 and in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It didn't know him. It didn't know him. He could have known. Did you know? We know, but we don't know. Do you know who I am? No, no. Do you understand? Oh, there's no question. This man was born in Bethlehem. History tells us that. In Nazareth. And there's no question. He is crucified. No question. Not a question about that. And when it comes to the resurrection, well, we know he's crucified. When it comes to resurrection, we don't think about that too much because there are no solutions to that. We have an empty tomb. And if we honor the empty tomb and think about it, then we have to think that he was more than just a man. He was a wonderful God and Savior who died for us. And we don't want to have to think about that. So we're going to just eliminate thinking about the resurrection and trying to figure it out. So we're just going to let it be, make believe it doesn't exist. The same as they're coming up, they'll make believe the rapture didn't exist. Make believe the rapture never happened. It'll happen, but let's make believe, we who remain, that it never happened. That's how we're going to live with it. We can live with it like that. All right, now over in your Bible, over, if you would please, to the Gospel of John. First John, I'm going to skip here. First John, the first epistle of John, chapter 5. Remember, these things are written that you can believe. So that's why we're reading them. And God wrote them so that we can believe. That's why we read John 7. Because God said, I want you to understand so you believe. You want to understand how the mind works, how people work? John chapter 5, 1 John 5, 1 John chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, in verse 10, a little bit. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness, testimony inside the heart, when I receive the Lord as my Savior. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record, the witness, the testimony that God gave of his Son. God so, that you already know, God gave his Son, born in Bethlehem of Judea. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know that. Now, what are you going to do with it? Well, nothing. All right. Verse 11. This is the record, witness, testimony that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, has not life, don't have life. So you have to have the Son in order to have life. Okay, I got that. You have to have the Son. And so that's a thing written down. Remember John 20. John said, if they had to go and put it all in writing, there could not enough books in the world to hold it. These are written, John 20, 30, 31. These are written for you. That's why we read them. So we don't have to, we have a benefit. The benefit, the Lord said to Thomas, blessed are they who've never seen me. You could put your hands in my side, in my side, and my fingers, and hands in your in my print, nail prints in my hand. But hey, they can't do that. They're just going to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God, boy, girl, man, or woman, must believe that he is. Now, John chapter 5, and in verse 13, these are written. Verse 13, these have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, there's a little word know, that you may have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we need to know. We need to know. And these are written so that we can know. That's right. So you're not guessing. Are you going to have the same arguments and the same stupidity that they had? No, because I learned from it. I learned. You told me what they did, and you told me how they ended. You told me how they were wrong. So I learned. So when I take the test, I'm going to know the answer. Because I already have you gave an explanation about it. So I'm not going to guess at what the answer is. I know what the answer is. I know who you are. Bethlehem, Nazareth, Galilee, the cross, and the right hand of God. I know who you are. Now, so here, verse 13, we did. Sliding down. And in verse, for time's sake, slide down, if you would, to verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that we belong to God, so we aren't, no guessing, that the whole world lies like in a great big casket. Wickedness means the wicked one. The world system's a great big box, and he has everyone in it, and he controls it, and God saves whosoever's in the box. God reaches down to the box with all those people in the world system, and offers them to be saved, offers them the truth, and he plucks them out. Wow. He leaves us in the world, but not of it. Wow. Now, okay, verse 9, verse 20. We know, there's a little word, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. What for? In order that we may know, there's that word, we may know him that is true. That's right. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to know the one that sent me is true. He is absolutely the true one. You want to know? He's the one. In my perfect humanity, I represent the perfect God. And in the process, we know, verse 20, that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So God, here we are, and there's no question about it. You want us to know. You don't know. Remember he said, John 7, you don't know my Father. You don't know where I'm from. You can talk about my birth and where I'm from, but you can't talk to me about where my Father, you don't know him. Because you don't know me. If you knew me, you would know my Father. How can you know me without knowing my Father? I and my Father are one. I told you, see me as to see the Father. See, no, then you lose out. You lose out. Wow. You miss out. And so we're here and now, and people all over now, they're going to have Christmas and do all kinds of things. And but do you know him? Do you know the one born in Bethlehem of Judea? No. No, really don't. Really don't. And therefore, I'm here and now, here now, and I don't have any of the benefits of here and now. God, you didn't save me for heaven. You saved me for now. That's right. To go from death to life. I want you to have life right now. I want to show life. I don't want to wait 5 seconds. I want you to receive me as your Savior, and in 5 seconds, I'm going to give you life. Not even 5 seconds. That's what I want now. Right now. Wow. That's what. Do. Are you able to do that? Absolutely. He that hath the Son hath life. When I receive him as my Savior, I have to have life because he is life. In fact, he is my life now. Now, in closing, over if you would. Oh, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, please. And here's the Apostle Paul about to die, actually. He's going to die. And in the process, this is his last letter. And in the process, he's going to die. And he has this wonderful, wonderful thing to help us with. Remember now, he was the one going up and down, crucifying and killing Christians until Acts 9 when he got saved. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to this wonderful statement. For verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. All the dumb things that I live in myself, in the world, family, friends, coming, going, easy, hard, much, little, I am going through all these things because I'm here. I'm not there, but I'm here. And God, I know why I'm here, because you want me here to represent you. And you want me to be knowing you as my Savior, and so that the world will know that I know you as my Savior. You want the world to know that I know you. You want the world to know that you know him. That's your job, that you know him. Well, now, and therefore I am not ashamed, for I know, a word, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I am knowing with the present result. I continue to know. I know whom I have believed with the result. I am still believing. I know whom I have believed and whom I know whom I have believed. I have no question about him. I know him. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep deposit that which I've committed unto him against that day. God, you're able to keep me. I'm persuaded, absolutely, no question, that you're able to guard and keep me. I've made a deposit, and I've made a deposit against that day. God, I'm putting all my eggs in your basket. I'm putting all my eggs. I'm putting my soul, my substance, my society, my future. I'm putting everything, God. Here I am. All of me for all of you. All of you, all of me for you to save all of me. Not part of me, not a little of me. Save all of me. You've got the whole ball of wax, God. You got it. Oh, he said, it's too bad you don't know who I really am. You know about me, and you're not wrong. You just don't know how to put it together. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy and Spirit of God, we thank you that you're able to save to the uttermost. We thank you that you're the way, the truth, and the life to get where? To get where? To get to you, our Heavenly Father. To get to you. That's right. To know you. It's all about knowing you, God. We know our Lord so that we can know you. Thank you very, very much. So deal with us, and for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them that they would believe and receive Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And God, for we who confess and know, profess and know, possess and know, God, help us to understand afresh and anew our unique relationship to you that makes it possible for us to be able to say, we know you, I know you, whom we have believed, and we are not ashamed. God, thank you very, very much. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that. You may have a desire to turn to 543.